network in my life, and through my relationship with this community of disciples at New Day.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. We can give Jacqueline a thank you and God a hand clap for that. And I know that there are other stories that are out there. I mean, some people like ended up with a house. That it's just a crazy story. And some people ended up when their parents couldn't figure out how we're going to pay for college and give, ended up with amazing scholarships that came around. And so there are a ton of stories. Now, Jacqueline, you're the other person who's going on the prayer trip to Kenya that leaves this Friday. We had a goal to bring $2,000 in drought relief with us to Kenya. The giving on that drought relief is up to $6,000. So talk about like amazing things happening. Hundreds of lives are going to be affected, not just by the relief that they need during this, they're in their fourth year of drought, by also the bridges that are being built for the gospel to move across with the indigenous leaders there who we're equipping and encouraging and praying for in this. So the act that we're doing on Friday as we leave for Kenya, this pouring out blessings, it's really the finale of overflow. And Jacqueline, I would like to invite you as the other person who's part of the prayer team that's going to Kenya, would you lead us in thanking God for all he's done and asking for his provision on this trip?
Absolutely. Father God, thank you so much for the ways that you have showed us that you are present and at work in our lives. Thank you for the overflow of blessings that you have provided to this church and the financial contributions that are going to really change people's lives and help lead them to you as we bring this relief to Kenya. God, I ask that you would lead and guide our hearts so that we could continue to serve you, and that you would open our eyes to see the ways that you are at work in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. So this Friday is when Jacqueline and I are joining two friends from Milwaukee on this trip to Kenya. So thank you so much, Jacqueline, for your faithfulness. If you have a Bible here and can open it up to Acts chapter 2, we're going to take a look at what God did in the first century church, and imagine what could that look like in our context in Marathon County. So Acts chapter 2, after Jesus rose from the dead, he spent time with his disciples. He told them to wait for the Holy Spirit, and then he ascended into heaven. When the Holy Spirit came down, it was during the festival of Pentecost, where thousands of people were gathered in Jerusalem, and God made a scene and got people's attention so Peter could share with them how God reached out to everybody, to the world, by sending his son Jesus, and how they should repent and be baptized. And then we catch up with this situation, Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 41. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. It might be a little different wording. The message, though, is the same, no matter what translation you happen to be reading. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 41. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What would our communities look like if God did a miraculous revival in our midst, like we see in the book of Acts? If you just take a moment and consider, if God added 3,000 new disciples in Marathon County and they were fired up to do acts of obedience, to be faithful, to let God transform them in ways that they hadn't been open to before, what would that do to the workload, the caseload of the Department of Human Services? What about the police department? Would they perhaps be less busy as people at the end of hope found new meaning and purpose and knowing that God loves them so much that he sent his son instead of escaping reality through meth, alcohol, other drugs? What would that do to the labor market if people were working for their employer as if working for the Lord, and customers would treat people who are working as people created by Almighty God, people with amazing value, and they'd use patience and grace in their interactions. Neighborhoods would feel safer as more people cared enough to learn the names and the stories of their neighbors, would watch out for each other because Jesus said to love your neighbor. Churches that are struggling would be revitalized as people discovered the power of hearing and obeying, having a fresh testimony of God's power guiding their lives. There'd be less division as more people humbled themselves and thought of others as more important than them. Our differences would start to seem less and less significant compared to the unifying power of the cross. What would it take for us to join with God in making that kind of impact between now and 2030? It's an uphill battle. And I know some of us are thinking, well, I don't know what I could do. Churches, even entire groups, have a hard time figuring this out. Between 2000 and 2010, there were over 3,000 fewer people. In that 10-year period in Marathon County, there were over 3,000 fewer people connecting to any church. 47,000 people not connecting to any church. And planting more churches hadn't helped that number increase. It's going to take something more than addition. It's going to take a movement of the Spirit, a multiplication of disciples. We do see this happening in other parts of the world. That's why we got this connection to Kenya. In Kenya, a Kenyan man who God had led to Jesus, had drawn to Jesus from a Muslim background. He started Lifeway Missions International in Kenya 25 years ago to reach unreached people in his own country. He learned movement principles that were working in other parts of the world. Things like small groups of people gathering around God's word in order to do God's will, including the command of Jesus to go and make more disciples. A group like that, in movement speaking, a group like that that starts, like if we started a group like that outside these walls, including people who are far from church and far from God, that would be a first generation group. When one small group becomes disciples who then find people in their spheres of influence who are receptive to opening God's word, and they help start additional groups, those new groups are second generation groups. Those groups give birth to third generation groups, and so on. What missiologists, the people who study missions around the world, have found is that where there are 100 or more groups meeting, and some of those groups are fourth generation groups, God is moving in a way that you couldn't stop it if you wanted to. There is no leader you could pluck from that organization. Everything is so decentralized. It's like what we've talked about before with a starfish. If you even tried to cut a piece off, that leg of the starfish becomes a new starfish, and the starfish itself grows a new leg. That's how movements operate. Lifeway, after 25 years, they're currently tracking 54 different movements like that among 160 people groups. That's how things have multiplied. God is doing this. Last November, 2021, Kurt Olson, a Wisconsin guy, he taught disciple-making principles to 500 pastors of established churches in West Bengal, India. And within 3 weeks of teaching them the way that Jesus made disciples, who made disciples, those pastors reported events that were happening. This was within 3 weeks. Reported events that were happening within 3 weeks where they were collectively baptizing 3,000 new disciples in West Bengal, India. Even though Marathon County, it's a very different culture than West Bengal, I'm willing to believe that God will move in a similar way here, even if it takes until 2030. God brought 3,000 people into discipleship in one day in the book of Acts. He brought 3,000 people into discipleship in 3 weeks in West Bengal. Are you willing to believe that God can and will reverse the trend of 3,000 people falling away from him every 10 years in Marathon County, and to instead bring 3,000 new believers into discipleship in this decade? What's it going to take? Acts 2:42 gives us some of the characteristics of a multiplying church. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Though the apostles' teaching at that time was actual people who had actually been with Jesus, who had walked with him. For us, the core of their teaching has been collected into the New Testament of the Bible. So if we're going to be a church like that, if we're going to multiply a church like that, it's going to have to be based on what we read in the Bible, and not just to be around Scripture, to be devoted to be in obedience to God's lead on our lives, and to fellowship, to operate in the context of community, to the breaking of bread, sharing meals together, including the Lord's Supper, doing what the church does, and to prayer. We've got to re-up our commitment to prayer. This isn't something that where we can just say we're going to try a different method. We're going to start doing Discovery Bible Studies, and that is going to start a movement. No, Discovery Bible Studies are a simple multiplying way that we see God working. It's working, though, where the Spirit is already moving, where God has gotten people's attention, and that happens when we pray. Let me tell you what our church board here at New Day has committed to doing. As we ask the question, what's it going to take to see God do something in this decade? What do we need to do over the next 12 months? And our church board has said, we're going to lead from the front. We're going to do the things that we would ask other people to do. And a lot of what we're committing to and we're keeping each other accountable to in the next 12 months comes from Luke chapter 10 and Mark chapter 10, when Jesus gave instructions to his disciples about going out to particular towns, about how do you engage with people in a way that helps disciples make disciples who can then make disciples. The first thing is we're going to pick a people group. Now, we talked about, do we do that as a group of people? Do we say, here's who God is leading us to? Or do we do it as individuals? Here's who God is leading me to. And it can happen either way. You might be part of a small group and you might have done service projects, which is part of what being a small group in New Day is about. You're doing service projects. Maybe it's to some of the same people. Maybe God has called your group to a particular group of people. Or maybe God is calling you as an individual. Jesus said to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. Nations can be translated as people groups. In Marathon County, we could apply this most literally as ethnicities. What are some of the ethnicities within Marathon County where we need to be making disciples? We could also apply it more broadly as cultures, as circles of influence, like a neighborhood, a town, an affinity group, like a club, a phase of life. Who has God given you a particular compassion for? Start seeing yourself as a missionary to some group of people where God has put you. So that's number one, pick a people group. Number two, pray for a person of peace. That'd be a person within that people group who God is preparing to be receptive to the good news of Jesus and who's open to sharing their sphere of influence. Our job is not to convince everyone. Take a deep breath. Relax your shoulders. Your job is not to convince everyone. Our job is to find the person who God is already preparing. He's already shown them that they have lived apart from him, that there's emptiness in that path. He's given them a sense of the need. Now, who is going to introduce them to Jesus who meets that need? That person becomes someone who pulls people together for a discovery Bible study while you provide coaching and support. Start praying now for that person, even though you may not have met them yet. So pick a people group. Pray for a person of peace. Plan and access ministry. This is how you'll engage with that people group in meaningful ways in order to meet potential people of peace. Depending on the group God puts on your heart, an access ministry could be a service project. It could be a simple social event. It could be involvement in a club. It could be saying yes to an invitation that's already been extended to you. Pick a people group, pray for a person of peace, plan an access ministry. How are you going to interact with that people group? And then prepare for a conversation. When God puts a person of peace in front of us, what will we say? What might we be careful not to say? What are some good questions to ask someone to help discover whether or not God is drawing them to Jesus? Well, we have to commit to following the Spirit's lead always. It seems wise to prepare. Prepare for a conversation. These are the four steps the people on the board are working on in 2023 in order to start groups in the next 12 months, groups that have the DNA to multiply. And as groups multiply and they find connectedness, they build gatherings, larger gatherings, multiple gatherings across Marathon County. If you imagine that, it starts to look like a movement. 3,000 new disciples by 2030. What are you willing to do to meet God in accomplishing what only He can accomplish? Right now, we're going to practice that RAD pattern of reflection, application, discussion. Some of the questions on the on our RAD worksheet, some of the patterns that we're practicing as we meet around tables and in homes here are to help us practice for Discovery Bible Studies, to help us break out of some of our assumptions of what the church has to look like. Because if we just keep doing things the way we have been doing them, we're just going to get the same results. And the same results are not adequate for reaching people for Jesus Christ in our context, in our generation. And I'm just not satisfied to stay that way. Ask God during this time of reflection to reveal to you a people group that He's been preparing you to reach. So we're literally going to give you a few minutes to listen for God. Who is He bringing to your mind and to your heart? If you're already connecting with that people group, ask Him to reveal a next step to take in finding the person of peace who God has equipped to lead others in devotion to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. And after a few minutes of reflection, we're going to reconnect for prayer and discussion. So take this time to quietly consider, how is God leading you in this vision? All right, I hope that you got a sense from God and how he's leading you, and that you will be willing to turn that into an I will statement, something that you're going to do in obedience, something that you can be held accountable to within the fellowship, something that you can discuss as we give you a few minutes for discussion in just a moment. Since 2020, I've been a lot less involved in like local coffee shops, and that used to be my hangout and where I would meet people and interact. And I feel like God is leading me that direction. That came out of a conversation I had with somebody as well, just saying I don't know where to start. And he said, well, what about coffee shops? So my I will statement is, I will schedule regular weekly time in a local coffee shop to do my personal Discovery Bible study and to interact with people in my community. That's my I will statement, and I'm trusting that God is going to see things that that come out of that. You need to tune in the next couple of weeks. We're going to have a guest here who is doing this in the Tomahawk area, and he's got people who are involved in Discovery Bible studies who can tell you more about what that means exactly. So while we're in Kenya, you're going to be learning here some of the things we're learning there in different contexts, and then when we come back, it's all going to come together and be awesome and amazing. So thank you so much for plugging in, and if any of you feels like you're raring to go, you want to join others in the church and holding each other accountable to those action steps, people group, person of peace, planning access ministries, preparing for conversations, please let me know. We're going to put my email address up in the chat, because I'm looking for people who are willing to learn more and put it into action. And maybe, just maybe, maybe you are a person of peace who God has already prepared for this. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for showing us what you've done in the past, that you are a God of miracles, that you create solutions that we couldn't even imagine, that you do things in ways that are far beyond what we could plan or orchestrate. Thank you for giving us that testimony from the past and also testimony from the present of where that's happening in the world today. I pray, God, that we would have the willingness and the faith to join you in that, in our context, in our generation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take some time to discuss. What is your I will statement? So if you're in the chat, share with us, what did God bring to your mind? And in this room, we're going to have conversations around the tables. And if you haven't been here in person, you are welcome to come check it out on any Sunday. Go in peace.